This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, so it's time to ask again, what is it with Massachusetts and women politicians? Now, let's be frank. In the state legislature and on the local level, even occasionally in a congressional district, there are whip-smart women representing their constituents. But when it comes to statewide office, okay, there's Martha Coakley as Attorney General. Carrie Healy served as Lieutenant Governor, as did Jane Swift, who then inherited the governor's office, briefly. But beyond that, mostly, nada. Again, I ask, what gives?
And it's curious, especially these days in Massachusetts, where women represent a slight majority, about 52% of the population. So-called women's issues often play important roles in political campaigns. Consider that Mitt Romney's own mother once made an unsuccessful run for the Senate. Here's what he said about that at the Republican National Convention.
I can still see her saying in her beautiful voice, "Why should women have any less say than men about the great decisions facing our nation?"
Yeah. So this question of the Bay State's paucity of women politicians came up in 2010 in the Senate race between Martha Coakley and Scott Brown. Will Coakley break the political glass ceiling? Pundits breathlessly asked. Obviously, she did not. And now it's being asked again as Elizabeth Warren challenges Senator Scott Brown. WBR's Kurt Nickisch has looked into the issue and he joins us now. Hey there, Kurt.
Hi, Meghna.
So I was ranting a bit there. I'll grant you that. But what prompted you to dive into this wasp's nest of Massachusetts gender politics?
Well, it just kind of struck me when I was covering the race earlier this year. And I covered when they both released their tax returns, Elizabeth Warren and Scott Brown. And you could ask very critical questions of both. But the press was really hostile to her. And they were very sort of friendly to him, just in their manner. And it may be that they used to work with his wife, a former TV reporter. There could be plenty of reasons, but I just wondered, is gender maybe playing into perceptions there a little bit? And, you know, people in Weymouth think Wyoming's a backward state, but it was the first one to give women the right to vote. Why don't women win in Massachusetts?
So what did you find?
Well, you mentioned Jane Swift, right? Her formal portrait at the State House says acting governor, right? It makes a point of that. Massachusetts has just been really reluctant to send women up there, even though right around us, New Hampshire, two women senators, Maine, two women senators. People there are complaining that Olympia Snow is retiring. Connecticut has already had two women governors, but not the Commonwealth. And when I spoke to Victoria Budson, she runs the Women in Public Policy program at Harvard's Kennedy School. Here's what she had to say.
We have the most educated group of women within the United States. So we have the largest talent pool from which to draw of highly educated, knowledgeable women, and yet we're still smack in the middle of the country when it comes to how well we do on women's representation.
So, Kurt, why is this? I mean, why hasn't Massachusetts voted for women if there is this incredible talent pool?
Well, a couple of reasons, but let me sort of point to what may be the biggest one. We're the only New England state with a professional legislature. So unlike citizen legislatures where you're kind of part-time, you get a stipend, you get mileage, you're supposed to have a job on the side. In Massachusetts, it's higher pay. It's more or less considered a full-time job. And Budson says, you know, that really makes a big difference.
Legislatures that are higher status, full pay, full time, tend to be predominantly male. Over time, those legislatures where it was more of a part-time job, many women would go into that type of work and people voted for them and considered it much less of a male bastion.
And of course, here we've seen that the state legislature is this sort of well-worn path to wealth and power and influence. And you can be disgraced and still get high-paying jobs in, you know, different places. So it's just men just haven't given that up. And maybe, just maybe, we're just not as progressive as we think we are.
Perish the thought. WBUR's reporter Kurt Nickisch, thanks so much for getting us started on this very interesting topic.
Sure thing.
Well, joining us now, actually, you know what, I'm going to back up a little and relive a tiny, tiny bit of history, because it wasn't until 1999 that a woman of her own accord was elected to statewide office in Massachusetts. That woman was Shannon O'Brien when she became state treasurer. O'Brien then ran for governor in 2002 and lost to Mitt Romney. Shannon O'Brien now runs a tech consulting firm in Boston and joins us on the line. Ms. O'Brien, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for joining us. Let me ask you, when you were running for that treasurer's race back in 99 and then again the gubernatorial run in 2002, did you feel as if your gender was part of your campaign, part of the issues that you were facing as a Massachusetts politician?
Well, I think that my answer is sort of two-pronged. One, I think that anybody running for office, image is an issue. And I do think that portraying the image of an executive is sometimes, I think, a little bit more challenging, a little bit more of a hurdle that women have to overcome when they're running for office. That being said, you know, I think that a lot of the successes and failures, whether it was, you know, myself or Martha Coakley or, you know, whatever, you know, is going to happen to Elizabeth Warren, there are individual dynamics in each of those races that have less to do with gender and a lot to do with, you know, what is happening at the time, who the opponent is, and a lot of other factors. So, you know, I do think that that image plays a role. I do think that it is harder for women to sometimes project that image of the sort of stereotypical leader or government leader that they want to be. But ultimately, each of the races, I think, turns on its own set of facts and time.
Now, how much do you think that has to do with what we were hearing Kurt Nikisch talk about earlier? And that is, you know, for example, the conveyor belt to political power in Massachusetts runs through Beacon Hill. And because we have a professional political class in Beacon Hill, that it doesn't make much room for women. So we don't have that many women who are sort of groomed at an early phase to go on to become things like governor.
Well, I'm not sure I necessarily agree with that, because I think of some of the people that have been nominees for both parties, you know, John Silver, Bill Weld, Ed King, Evelyn Murphy, Kerry Healy. You know, a lot of our, you know, successful statewide candidates on both sides of the aisle, a significant number of them have never served in the Massachusetts legislature. I did serve in both the House and the Senate, but Kerry Healy didn't, Evelyn Murphy didn't, you know, Martha Coakley didn't. So I'm not sure that I necessarily agree with that. But I do think that it is sometimes harder for women. Marjorie Clapper used to make an excellent point when she talked about the difficulty of fundraising for women. Generally, when you're sort of starting from the ground up and you're running a campaign, you basically go to your friends. You go to your family, but then you go to your friends. Well, a lot of our friends tend to be, you know, women if we're women. A lot of our friends tend to be men if we're men. And, you know, there is an earning disparity. There is a power disparity at the top levels of business and finance. And so when you're reaching out to that immediate circle of friends, one of the things that Marjorie Clapper would say is, you know, sometimes she'd go to people maybe that she didn't know. They would give the guy a $1,000 contribution. Back then you could give $1,000. But they would give her $100. And so I really think that the hardest thing is not so much whether or not the legislature is more, you know, female or male, but it's really understanding the mechanics of how to raise money and what that network is that you can access to go out and raise money, or in the case of people like Mitt Romney or Bill Weld or other people, whether or not you're wealthy enough to write your own check to make that happen.
So given those mechanics, as you were saying, I guess my final question to you is, I take your point that each race is an individual creature in and of itself, but what do you make of Elizabeth Warren's chance to break that so-called political glass ceiling in Massachusetts this time around?
I think she has an excellent chance. You know, when you watch her debate, I see what a lot of people others see, and I see what many of us who've admired Elizabeth Warren for a long time. She's extremely smart. She's been an advocate for consumers. She has a national reputation. All of those factors have helped her raise money. She's raised money, millions of dollars on the internet, a lot from Massachusetts, but a lot outside the country. So I think that she brings something that is not only just the passion that she has, the intelligence, but she has the mechanics to have the resources to make that happen. I got outspent 3.5-1 by Mitt Romney in my general election. That was, you know, there were a lot of things that you can say, but that was the one handicap that if I could fix that, I think, you know, I might have been in better shape.
So money may be an even louder force than whatever
louder
gender you might be.
Way louder.
Shannon O'Brien is a former treasurer of the state of Massachusetts. Thank you so much, Mr. O'Brien, for joining
sure
us today.
Thank you.
Coming up, more bikes than ever before on the streets of Boston, which means more accidents than ever before. Does the city need to do more to improve bike safety? Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.